We begin the current Daf Masechta Nas with Daf Lamed Hey. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Daf. And that is, the Gemara made an inference from our Mishnah that our Tanna Mishnah argues on Rebbe Lazer. And that is, when we have this third of the three Yisurim that a Nazir has, which was mentioned in the Mishnah, that it's forbidden to consume things that come from the grapevine. Now, the question is, what does that include and what does it not include? So Rebbe Lazer says that it includes even olam ulavan, even the shoots and the leaves of the grapevine are included in what's considered yotzei me'hagefen and forbidden. Whereas the Tanna of our Mishnah, as the Gemara made two diyukim from, holds that it's only things like grapes, things that come from the grapevine, but not the grapevine itself, which would exclude the olam ulavan. So the Gemara asks, but my kamifika, what are they arguing about? So the Gemara defined that Rebbe Lazer is going based on the drasha of mi'ut v'ribui, and therefore that includes when you have a mi'ut exclusionary term, and then a ribui inclusionary term as a last term, that includes basically everything besides the hard branches itself. But shoots and leaves would be included. Whereas the Rabbanan held, who is the Tanna of our Mishnah, that it's a prat uklal uprat, because you have the first pasuk that talks about a prat, and then you have the klal, and then you have mechartzan about zag, which is interpreted as a prat, it's a specific, talking about the grape skins and the grape seeds. So then in the dun, ilikeina prat, which is similar to the prat, which are a pre and the psalis of a pre, but not the grapevine itself, and therefore they exclude the olam ulavan. That was what the Gemara said in the previous daf. Now, that is what the Gemara continues and says, Ulir Belazar ben Azariah, but according to Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah from our Mishnah, the Kamokim Lahai Mechartzan Vadzag, he argues on the Tanakama of our Mishnah regarding what is it, how much you have, let's say the shear is a kezias of consuming of a byproduct from the grapevine. But is it enough to have of just seeds or just of grapes? So the Tanakama held, yeah, you could have just grapes or just of wine or just of seeds or just of skins. But Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah was quoting our Mishnah and saying that no, you have to have, and he learns it out from the Pasuk, which uses the words chartzanim ve'adzag. Chartzanim is plural, and zag is singular. So Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, as his halacha is quoted in our Mishnah, tells you, loimer, she'enechayim et she'yechol beis chartzanim ve'adzag, until you eat two chartzanim, which, as the Rashi explains, according to that interpretation of our Mishnah, meaning until you have two seeds, which is in the grape, until zag, until you have the grape skin, then only then they're going to be chayim. It's not enough to have, let's say, one seed. Even if you have the shear, it has to be two seeds and one grape skin. So if that's how he interprets the pasuk mechartzan ve'adzag, that's what's coming to teach you. So pratim anale, according to Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, how would he learn this halacha of the Tana of our Mishnah, which tells you that it's because of prat to klal a prat, you know that's ke'en ha-prat, which is pre and psoilis pre, that all those things are forbidden for the nazir, but not olam ulavan, but it doesn't have a last prat. According to Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, that last prat is not used as a prat, as exclusionary term. It's used to tell you a different halacha, that you're only going to be chayiv if you have two seeds and one grape skin. So it can't be used for the halachic status of a prat. So you're really left with just a prat and klal. If you have that klal includes everything, which would include even olam ulavan. So how does he know that olam ulavan are excluded? So that the Gemara says, you're right. Sabalak Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah of our Mishnah holds a Rebbe Elazar, the Darish Mi'ut V'Ribui, where he expounds it in the way of not of Prat and Klal, but rather of Mi'ut V'Ribui. And therefore, right, he doesn't need that pasuk of Chartzan V'Adzag, just like Rebbe Elazar didn't need Chartzan V'Adzag, because he actually learned, and actually the Rosh referenced Rebbe Elazar in regards to saying that he learns like Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah too, where actually the because that pasuk of Chartzan V'Adzag is being used to explain, as the Gemara will prove this point, it could have said chartzanim v'adzagim, or it could have said chartzim v'adzag, either both in the plural or both in the singular. It says one in the plural, one in the singular, to tell you that you need two seeds and one grape skin. But you're right, actually, olam ulavan, according to Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, are included in the Isser for the Nazir, just like it is according to Rebbe Elazar, who we said is not like the Tana Kama of our Mishnah. So that's one interpretation. V'ibayisim akraban, or the Gemara says, actually, you could learn that Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah of our Mishnah agrees to the Rabbanim, meaning the Tanakama of our Mishnah, that actually olam ulavan is not included in the Yisr. And we do darshan, and how do we know that? Because we darshan it based on prat klal prat. Now, and therefore actually, We're going to be learning out two halachas from this pasuk of Chartzan about Zag. How so? Because if you would entertain to say that the words in the pasuk of Chartzan about Zag is only coming to tell us what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying in his halacha, the Mishnah, that you need to have two seeds and one skin, which is Chartzan about Zag, well then, lichdevei rachmona l'chartzan about Zag gabe prati. Besides the pasuk itself, the location of the pasuk, why is it after the klal? It should have said it together with the other specifics. It was talking about specifics of what these halachas are. Yayin and Sheikher, it was saying what the specifics are. Then it goes to a klal. Then it goes to a prat. Why is the prat after the klal? Put it together with all the other pratim in the beginning. L'may hilchas akas ve'basur klal. Why, for what halachic purpose was it mentioned after the klal? Because it's coming to tell you that we want to expand it based on the halachic exposition of the drush of the Midbar Torah, haprat uklal uprat. Now the question is, well, but then if that's the case, that's why you're learning from the location of that pasuk. So the emakuli lahachu da'asa. So the Gemara says maybe that's the only thing it's coming to teach. How does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah know to darshan from that pasuk hartan about zag his halacha of two seeds and one skin? Maybe the pasuk's only coming to tell us that it's a prat for the halacha of prat to klal prat, which is to tell us ke'in a prat. How does he know to make his own drasha from it if maybe it's there only as a prat? On that, the Gemara answers, im kain. If its sole purpose was to make the drasha prat to klal prat like the Rabbanon, then lichdev oishnei chartzan oishnei zagim, then they should have said it both in the plural, mechartzan and vadzagim. Or should have said them both in the singular, chartzan vazag. The seed and the peel and the skin. Salamaya halchas akas rachman the mechartzan vad zag. Why did it say chartzanim in the plural and zag in the singular? Ah, shmamino le midrash be klal prat. So there's two things that we're learning out. First of all, halacha of klal prat, because why is it after the klal? And v'ikanami le midrash be atshiyach shnei chartzanim vad zag. And it's also coming to tell us the halacha which Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah espouses in the Mishnah to tell you that you need to have, not like the Tanna Kama said that you could have just one of the seeds or just of the peel, you need to have two seeds and a peel. But he also could learn that, like the Rabbanan of our Mishnah, which is that it's also prat to klal prat, and therefore it is excluding olam b'lulavim. Or like the first answer the Gemara gave, which you're right, he argues, and he holds like Rabbi Elazar, that you actually are going to include olam b'lulavim because he doesn't use chartan b'adzag because it's not a prat, it's used for a different drasha, and he's learning it as a miyud v'ribu. Now the Gemara asks, Verbalazar the Darish Miyud Variba. According to Verbalazar, that we explained his opinion on the previous staff, which, as he's quoted in the Brisa, is obviously not like the Tanav Mishnah, who excludes Olam Ulalav and the shoots and the leaves from the prohibition. He includes it. And as we said, because he learns it, the Psukim of the Nazar, as a Miyud Variba exclusionary term, then inclusionary term, which inclusionary term includes really basically everything. And the Miyud, or the first Miyud, only excludes the real branches, the hard branches. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Elazar, prat uklal prat minali. Where does he know the halacha of klal prat uklal? Which Tosis wonders and says, maybe he doesn't have such a midah shatar nidresh ben. Maybe he doesn't hold of the halacha concept of klal prat uklal because maybe he only makes it in what's called ribu miyud v'ribui, as he learns regarding the halachas of Nazir. So that Tosis brings from the Ri that you have to say that generally, that Rabbi Elazar learns that there is such a halach of prat or klal prat. Why? Taisa says because if he would only hold, which the corollary, if you don't hold of prat or klal prat, would be mit v'ribui v'mit. Now, on that, Taisa explains that the Gemara holds that by Nazar also, what happens is that if you didn't learn in prat klal prat, you would have said that the psukim over here by Nazar are mid ribu v'mid. If Rabbi Elazar didn't hold that there's a prat klal prat, but rather mean to say whenever you have such a prat klal prat in the whole Torah, it really means mid ribu v'mid, then actually, if he held there was such a thing as mid ribu v'mid because he didn't hold prat klal prat, then he would not have expounded, as the Gemara explained in the previous stuff that he does, that the last mid of chartzan v'adzag is coming to teach you the halacha of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which is to tell you it's a different halacha, two seeds and one skin, not as because as a prat. On that, the Gemara says no, because it's much better to learn it in the seemingly pattern that the Torah is addressing it in, which is of miyut ribui v'miyut. So therefore, Tosfos says what the Gemara held was what you have to say, is that obviously he doesn't have such a drasha in his arsenal of meat ribu v'miat. Because if he did, he wouldn't have said that last meat as, oh, it's teaching something else. No, he would have said it's a meat ribu v'miat. So rather, that means to say that when the Torah says it as a specific, general and specific, he normally would learn it as a prat kal uprat, and not as, because he doesn't hold of such a thing of meat ribu v'miat. Again, because if he did, he would have said that that was what Charshan Matzag is, it's the last meat. And therefore, it must be because he doesn't hold that there's such a midah, shatern yudeshben, of midah, of miyat, ribah, v'miyat, and rather of protocol prat. So, therefore, Tosfos asks, so therefore, if generally he holds, and that's what the Gemara wants to know, according to Belazar, what's the source of this halacha for him? Where does he know it from if he doesn't learn it over here by Nazar? So, if he generally holds a protocol prat, so then why doesn't he say over here to expound the Pasha of Nazar, like the Rabbanon, has a protocol prat, not as he does of miyat, ribui, and not having a last meat, because you don't hold of meat for ribu v'miyat, and he differ darshan for something else. Why? Darshan it as a prat kal prat. So that Tosfos says, since in general, when you have miyutim and ribu and ribuyim, he generally darshans the whole tire with ribu and miyat, or miyat and ribu, or ribu miyat and ribu. Now, although, again, meaning there's different computations that you could have. You could have a miyut v'ribu, or ribu v'miyut. Again, one's an exclusionary term, one's an inclusionary term. Or, and he holds all those things, miyut v'ribu, or ribu v'miyut, or ribu miyut v'ribu. He just doesn't have that computation of miyut v'ribu v'miyut. Now, so though you could expound, as the Rabbanan do, the psukim over here by Nazar, as prat kal prat, but since generally the computations and throughout the Torah, he doesn't usually say it in klal uprat, so therefore, it's more preferable for Rebbe Lazar to expound the last prat for the halacha of Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah than to expound it in the prat uklal uprat. It's only when he doesn't have anything to darshan the last prat for, where then you're by default stuck with a prat. So you have a prat uklal uprat, where again you can't darshan it as miyut ribu v'miyut because that Rebbe Lazar doesn't hold of that there is such a halacha. So therefore, then you have a protocol of prat. And then he would darshan it. That's the Gemara's question. Where do we know, where does Rabbi Lazar know this from, that you do have such a drasha of protocol of prat? So Amar Bevo, he says, Nafkalim ha'ikra, he learns it out from the following pasuk in Shemois, which talks about the Shvur Shemrin, which is when you have someone that's your agent to watch something for you. As we know, there's Shemachinim, Shemesachar, Neisesachar, and there's a Shayel, there's four different types of watchmen. This pasuk is expounded by the Rabbanan in Perek HaZav, and they actually expounded in Klal Prat the Klal, but Rebbe Lazar, as the Gemara will illustrate, he actually expounds it in Prat uklal uprat. But as the Gemara will explain in Amud Beis, they're basically the same, there's just a different nuance in the halacha between them. So the pasuk there says, Ki yitin ishel rieyu, if a man's going to give to his friend, chamor, a donkey, or a shor, or an ox, or a seh, or a sheep, which for him to watch for him. Now that's prat. Those are specifics. But then it says b'chol behema or any animal. That's a klal. That's a general statement. Lishmer to safeguard. That's chazu parat. That goes back and it's a specific. And the reason why that's a specific, and actually in halacha, that we know that when there's a prat to klal prat, that there it's keina prat. But the prat specifically that says there in the Torah is excluding something. That means to say it has to be something that could be watched, and that's why it's a specific. It's something that's excluding. It's fine-tuning it. And only that type of thing does the Shemer have to swear over. For example, like birds, but that would exclude, let's say, bears or lions, where they're not, you can't watch them because they can't be tamed. So therefore, Lishmer is a specific. So what you're left with is a prat, uklal, uprat. Yatadon, elakein laprat. So the halacha is that you only qualify something that's similar to those specifics mentioned there in the Torah, where again, there's the Rabbanan in Perek HaZav exclude from it Avadim, Shtaris, and Kerkaris. Now again, Rabbi Lazar is darshaning the same thing. He just darshans it not in Klal Uprat the Klal, but as in Prat, Klal Uprat, as Rabbi Vo illustrated from this Pasuk. And therefore, Rabbi Lazar would be excluding the same things that Rabbanan exclude from that Pasuk. Rav Amar Rava says, Nafkali Mahaikor says, no, actually that the Rabbi Lazar learns out that the halacha of Prat the Klal Prat from the following Pasuk in Vayikra, which talks about karbanis. The pasuk says, v'im min, and the Gemara is going to, Rav is going to split it up to show you where you see the prat kal prat. It says, and if from. So right away you see a prat. You see a specific, because it sounds like, as the next words in the pasuk is, ve'im min hatzayin, and then if from the flock. So the word min sounds like from only part of the flock and not all the flock, which that excludes, as because a prat, a specific, always is excluding something else from an animal that had bestiality with a person. Now, however, if we only had the specific, so we would also include in this exclusion of the miut even an animal that was, it plowed together with another animal that's forbidden to, let's say when you have a shur and a chamar, which are forbidden to plow together, or if it mated with a forbidden animal, which is climb of mating, where since an aveir was done with them, you would say that, oh, that's similar to what we're excluding, let's say, of a reve and a nirva. But the next word is hatzayin, the flock, which that's called, it's a general word. Then it says, min ha, and it says over here, kvasim ve'izim, it says from the sheep and from the goat, that's a chazar part, that goes back and it's a specific again. Which now you have prat, or klal or prat, you have a specific, a general and a specific, iatadon elkeina prat, that's where Rabbi Elazar knows the halacha from, that again, although generally he darshans only meat, ribu, ribu, meat, ribu, meat, ribu, but when you have a specific, a general and a specific, where he doesn't darshan meat, ribu, meat, ribu, he would, as that pasuk seems to be indicating, a halacha of prat, a klal prat, which is then you only do it keina prat, which is that just like there, the what was specified is specific in that an aver wasn't done with its body, with itself, which is what the case is, it's excluding bestiality, but it would be including things are like if I had shur v'chamar that were plowing together, or that it was mated with klayim. Now, Amale Rabbi Yehuda Midiskarta l'Rava. So Rabbi Yehuda Midiskarta said to Rava that you're learning out for Rabbi Elazar the halacha of prat to klal prat from the parsha over there in the beginning of Yikar from Karbanas, but he asked him, v'leilav min hadin kro, you could learn out from an earlier pasuk there in the parsha of Karbanas in Vayikar. Why do you have to go to a later pasuk? And he showed him which pasuk this is. This is in pasuk beis. That is, Rava was going from parakal of pasuk yud. He says, you have an earlier pasuk in pasuk beis, which it says, min, from, which that's a prat, that's a specific, which that sounds like, since the next word is min ha-behema, from the domesticated animals, so when it says from, sounds like from some animals, not all animals, which would exclude chai, wild animals. Now, ha-behema, which is it's klal, is a general term for animals, which would seemingly include chayas, it would include wild animals. But then it says, min from bakar v'tzayin, from the cattle and the flock. Well, that's chazal part. That's again specifically which are behemoths, not chayas. So you have prat to klal prat. You have a specific, a general, and a specific. Iatadon elkeina prat. So then you only qualify it. Again, this is the source where Rav Yehuda Midiskarta is asking Rava. You could find from this pasuk, an earlier pasuk already, for Rabbi Elazar, this concept of prat uklal uprat, which is just like the prat is specific, which are behemoths, which they exclude a chaya, wild animals, from being brought as a carbon, which tastes wonders. Then what does really the klal come to teach us? You're not really including anything from this of ke'ena prat. The pasuk already says behem, already says domesticated animals in the examples of the prat that it gives, of tzayin and bakar, and you're excluding chaya, but you're not really including then anything from the klal, which seemingly comes to include things. So that tastes brings to Maraf that actually the klal comes to include what's known as the shur habar. Shur habar is like a wild ox, where although a shur is a behemoth, a domesticated animal, but what the chiddush is, even though that it acts like wild animals and it's like a chaya, still that's the chiddush that we're including from the klal of behemoth to say that even that shur habar will be kosher for a carbon. But that was Rabbi Yehuda Midiskarta's question: why go to a later pasuk rava when you have an earlier pasuk? So Amalei, so Rava responded to him. He says, no, minhai leka lemashmina. From that pasuk, you can't learn for Rabbi Elazar the source of prat to klal prat. Why? Dima hasim, because if you would learn from there, havamina, I would have thought to say, habehema, that word habehema, as we continue on Talmud Beis, is chaya b'chlal behema. I would have said the term behema includes all types of animals, which even includes a wild animal. Now, therefore, what Rav is saying is, you then wouldn't be able to say that the word min is a prat to exclude the wild animal, because to the contrary, the min, the word min, which is from, which is a prat, is going on min habehema, which Rava says, I would have said habehema includes chaya, because we always know chaya is b'chal behema, it's wild animals under the category of behema. So therefore, Rava says no, because then I would have thought to say that min would be expounded as from, yes, only some of behemoths and chayas. But you wouldn't be able to exclude chaya from the word min, because chaya is included in the word behemoth. Min is a prat, is qualifying, excluding, fine-tuning ha-behemah. Ha-behemah includes chaya, Rava says. And therefore, I would have thought to say that min's not excluding chaya, it actually is qualifying and excluding from behemoth and chaya, but not excluding chaya. And therefore, that's why that wouldn't be a good source to use as a prat and a klal, and then a prat, because actually then that prat would not be excluding the drasha of excluding a chaya from there. Now, on that, Amalei, on that, Rabbi Yehudim Iskarta said to Rava, what do you mean? Chaya b'chalal behema? How could you say, and therefore refuting this as a source of prat or klal prat, because you're saying that the behema would have included chayas too, and then min wouldn't be excluding that, rather it would be qualifying that. But how could you say that the pasuk there, when it says a behema, is including a chaya, wild animal, but oksiv bakar b'tzayin? But the last prat there says cattle and flock. And therefore, just like the last prat, the understanding is that it excludes chaya, because it specifically uses cases of behemoths of domesticated animals, so too, the first prat, when it says min, is excluding, is qualifying and saying that it's not a chaya. And therefore, Rabbi Yehudah Miskarta says, v'havale prat uklal, and it's uprat. Rather, it is an example of a specific, a general statement and a specific, v'yata don el keina prat, and therefore, it would be an example of only learning Ke'ena Prat for a Belazer, and therefore that would be a source, he argues on Rava and says, even the earlier pasuk to tell you, a Prat, Uklal, a Prat, Ke'ena Prat, which again is just like the Prat is Behema, it would be excluding Achaya, where again, then what does the Klal come to include? Like Taisa says, the Shar Habar. So now the Gemara continues and asks a more general question. Ubnolan Dahachiu, we don't really know this concept that one of the Yud Gimel Midrash turned to Dreshes Ben, that it's a rule of the Messiah that we darshan Ke'en HaPrat, that when it has these three, a Klal, a Prat, a Klal, or a Prat, a Klal, that it, you're going to make it that now we're going to include whatever is similar to the specifics that are mentioned there in the Pasuk. And there's a question on the opinion of the Rabbanan, who they expound the Torah always in that way of Prat, a Klal, Prat. Now, the Rush just points out one thing, that the Gemara is not really exact, because originally what we were giving examples of are prat uklal uprat. Now the Gemara is actually going to bring in its source for the question that's asking, how do you know there is such halacha? It's going to actually bring it in klal uprat uklal. And that the Rosh says that's not a difficulty, because the Gemara knew that they really have the same halachic consequence, whether it's prat uklal uprat or klal, either klal prat klal or prat klal prat, it's all the same thing. The only but the Gemara will address later on, so then what is the difference? But since they have the same halacha, so the Gemara feels that it's you could illustrate the halacha of prat klal prat with an example of klal uprat uklal. So the Gemara says, so what's the source? The time like learn the Braisa. It's a pasuk in the Varm that talks about the halachas of Maaser Sheni, which is besides Maaser Rishon, which is the besides you got to give truma to the kohen, you got to give tenth of your produce to the Levi, which is called Maaser Rishon, something called Maaser Sheni, besides the third and the sixth year, where then you have Maaser Ani, which is a second tithe, besides the first tithe that you gave to Levim, second tithe, which all those produce has to be, a tenth of your produce, has to be brought up to Yerushalayim and eaten there. Now, if it's too much to schlep all that and bring all that food to Yerushalayim, what you do is you sell it, and the money that you get from selling it has to be brought up to Yerushalayim, with there, as the Pasuk says in Devarim, v'nasata kesef, and then you'll use and spend that money b'chol asher ta'ava nafshecha, for whatever your heart's desire. Now that's a klal. That's a general, like whatever you want to spend on. Then it says b'bokur, b'tzayin, b'yayin, b'sheicher. In your, you could buy cattle with it, flock, wine, and hard wine, old wine. Now that's a prat. That's specifics. Then it says b'chol asher tosholcha nafshecha, and whatever your heart desires. Now that's chaz of a klal. It goes back to a general statement again. So klal or prat to klal. You see from the pasuk a general, a specific, and a general. So you qualify, so what are you allowed to buy? Whatever similar, not just the specifics, but whatever similar to the specifics, which is maha prat meforish prima pri, just like the specifics mentioned there in the pasuk, bakar, tzayin, yayin, shecher, are specific in the sense that they are produce from produce. In other words, the produce itself, meaning the cattle and the flock, they mate and they give birth to more cattle and flock. So it's a pri from the pri, and that's how they continue. is they're born from the one before them, and so on. And v'gedulei karkar, and there are things that grow from the ground. Now, although cattle and flock don't grow from the ground, but as the Gemara darshans elsewhere, that since they do grow in some way from the ground because they get fed, they eat from the grass that's on the ground, so they're considered in this sense as gedulei karkar. So afkol pri v'gedulei karkar, so that comes to include what you can buy with your ma'aser sheni money in Yerushalayim, anything that's a pri from a pri, and that grows from the ground, which would include birds, which they're born from the bird before that, which are pri mipri, and their gedulei karkar, they eat from things on the ground, which would exclude fish, which don't eat from the things on the, they don't grow from the ground, and also it excludes water and salt, where they're not pri mipri, as the Gemara explains in the beginning of Perek Kol Ma'arvim. So therefore, what you have over here is a source of klal prata klal. Now, that answers our question of what's the source for this. But and that's how we know that there is such a midrash atar in the judgment. But the Gemara asks, Mechti, let's see. Klal upratu klal. As we just illustrated from this pasuk that we brought from Ma'aser Sheni, when you have a general, a specific and a general. Kein prata dainin, and you say, and that's when the Yud Gemara midrash atar in the judgment, that you expounded anything that's similar to the specifics. But the question is, klal abasta mayahani, what essentially is the last klal coming to include? You have the klal and you have a prat. So the klal is including and the prat is qualifying. So that's what we say, kein prat. If you had just the prat, it would just be that. You had just the klal, it would be everything. So why do you need the last klal for? So that the Gemara answers, ahani la sufi called the domile. The last klal actually comes to include anything that's similar to the specific. And the reason being, as the Rush explains, because if you didn't have the last klal, you would only have what's called a klal uprat. Then the halacha is, ein bechlal elamash beprat. Then actually, the general category only has what is there by the specific, and then it would be only really like what's the specific, not anything that's similar to that. So that's why you need the last klal. Similarly, the Gemara asks, Vesu, moreover, let's take it to the other similar case. When it's prat uklal uprat, specific, general, and specific. You also said over there, and as we explained from the Rush, that's why the Gemara had no problem illustrating the case of prat uklal prat with an example of klal prat uklal. You also said ke'ina prat dainan, that you qualified whatever is similar to the specific. So they were also, and the Gemara had asked this on the previous daf, prata bastra mayahani, what is the last specific coming to help us? What's it qualifying? You already have the qualification of the first prat. You already have the inclusionary of what is similar to it from the klal. So what does the last prat come to teach us? So that the Gemara says, ilav prata bastra, if not for the second, for the last prat, havamina nasa klal ma'isav al prat, I would have then expounded it as a prata klal, which then the klal comes to include anything that's basically there, and just the first prat just excludes just what totally is not like it. And that's why you do need the last prat to say that it's somewhere in the middle, it's whatever is ke'ein ha-prat. So the Gemara asks, umechti, let's see, train klali uprata, when you have two klalim and a prat, which is klal, prata, klal, and you have a train prati b'klala when you have two prats and a klal, meaning a prat, a klal, a prat. You said that we qualify that whatever is similar to the prat is going to be included in that pasuk. So the question is, my ikka baini baini. So what's the difference between a prat or klal a prat or klal a prat a klal? If you said that they have the same aloha, why would some? What would be the difference in exposition of that way or the other way? So the Gemara says, ikka, there is a difference. Because the ilu tartin klali a prati, when there's two klalim and a prat, meaning a klal a prat a klal, if there's a specific that's similar to the prat, even in just one element, marbinan will include that in that halacha. Trei prat uklal, but when you have two pratim and a klal, meaning a prat uklal uprat, iikar prat de dami mishnei tzadim, then only if there's a specific, which is not mentioned in the Torah, but similar to the prat that's mentioned in the Torah in two different ways, then marbinan then will include that in the halacha. But if it's only similar in one aspect, then we're not going to include it. As the Rush explains, it's logical to say that when you have two klalim, which again the klal is more inclusive, then you're going to add more than when there's only one klal. So though both of them are saying that it has to be in the prat, but what do you mean when it's like the prat? There's so many characteristics to anything, and when it's mentioned in the Torah that you could say whatever similar to it, that's the difference. Klal prat to klal is even if it's just similar in one element, but prat to klal prat, it's only if it's similar in two elements. Now the Gemara asks Mechti, let's see. Prat uklal, when there's a specific and a general. So we said Nasa Klal Moisav Al Prat. We said that the Klal is inclusionary. That's general. That includes basically everything besides whatever is very very not like that thing. This Rabbi called Mili, and every so you really include everything. Now Umit V'ri Benami. So to the other school of thought that expounds the Torah in an exclusionary term and an inclusionary term, Yosef said, since the ribui is the last one, is the second one, that's basically including everything, riba hakol. You'll include everything. Vishrabi kol milin, everything's included. So David the Gemara wonders, my ikka ben mid v'ribu l'prat klal. Is there any difference between the midah of mid v'ribu, exclusionary, inclusionary, to specific and general? If seemingly they both are saying the same thing, that they're basically going to include almost everything that's similar to it. So the Gemara answers, ikka, yes, there is a difference. The ilu prata klal, because if you expound it in specific and general, marbina nafila olamulalav, and then we're going to include, even as in the case of Nazir, which actually it does have a prat basra, as we said it has mechatzan v'adzag, but if it didn't, if it was only prata klal, then we would include basically everything, even leaves and shoots, because as we said, that's nasa klal moisav ala prat, and you really include everything. But amid v'riba, but if it was expounded in the exclusionary term and the inclusionary term, then actually love and in, it would only include the shoots, but alan loy, but leaves would not. And the reason being is because when you have a mid v'ribu, the Rosh says, is really like a ribuy mid v'ribuy, which you would be excluding one thing, and what would you be excluding? You'd be excluding the leaves. Now, which Taisa actually wonders, because as we mentioned in the previous daf, Rabbi Lazar expounds the parasha of Nazir in the mid v'ribuy. And we said that he includes not just the shoots, but even the leaves. So how could the Gemara here say that mid v'ribu would be less inclusive than the prat klal, and that it wouldn't be including olam when we said that Rabbi Lazar, who he's the Tana, not like the Tana of Mishnah, that includes in the halachas of Naziris, that is forbidden also from lalavan and olam. So that Taisa says, what you have to say is that the Gemara by Rabbi Lazar was saying that olam are included, was talking about soft leaves, which are similar to lulavan, to the shoots of the grapevine. But here it's talking about where the leaves already got hard, so that is similar to what the Gemara had said, that the first meat of the meat of Rebut, according to Rabbi Lazar, excludes shvishta, which are the hard branches, that even Rabbi Lazar would exclude in his meat for Rebut. That is what the Gemara here is saying would be olam loy. Those types of leaves, which are similar to the hard branches, that's totally not an edible item of the grapevine. That, according to Rabbi Lazar, yes, or those who learn mid v'ribui would be only including lulavin or olin like lulavin, which are soft, but the hard ones would not be included. That's the difference between mid v'ribui and prat klal, where prat klal actually would be that much more inclusive, and it would even include not just lulavin, but even olin, even the hard leaves.